Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Philippians 2, 19-30. So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. So let's hear the reading of Philippians 2, 19-30.
I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me.
Now, what have we been learning in church over the last little bit? Can you tell me, Isabel? The church is a team. Can you do that with me? The church is a team. That's exactly what Paul is saying in his letter to the Philippians. Now, I'm wearing, again, my cat's beanie, which fits me perfectly. Have you noticed? Fits me perfectly. It's not at all small. It's me exactly right. Now, when you're part of a footy team and you see one of your teammates leap up, get his knees onto the shoulders of someone and take a big spectacular mark, what do you do when you see your teammate do this thing that's so incredible, so wonderful? Isabel? You cheer. You say, "Woohoo!" Can you do that with me? A bit lackluster. Maybe we need some grown-ups saying, "Woohoo!" Excellent. Thank you, grown-ups. You say, "Woohoo!" You go, "Well done. That was amazing." You clap them on the back. You go, "You did a great job. Well done." Now, I was going to have a netball here, but you know, I rushed out of the house this morning a bit too quickly, and I left the netball at home. But if you're on a netball team, and you see the person on your team get a goal, what do you do? What do you do when your teammate gets a goal in netball? You cheer. You say, "Woohoo!" Grown-ups, "Woohoo!" Exactly right. When you are part of a team, you cheer for the people on your team. Okay, you cheer one another on. Now, if the church is a team, when we see one another doing things that are worthy of a cheer, worthy of encouragement, we should encourage them, shouldn't we? What are some things that the people in our team here, might do that are worthy of a cheer, worthy of encouragement? Isabel, That's exactly the picture that I've got here, telling people the gospel. Look, here's someone telling this person all about Jesus. This person, he's asking questions. When someone on our team, when we hear that someone on our team has told other people about Jesus, what do? We say, woohoo! When someone on our team has shown incredible love to someone else, how might we show love to someone on our team? Isabel's got all the answers. Does anyone else want to chime in, Hannah? Give them money, yeah, if they need a bit of money. That might be a good thing to do, to show love. Any other ways that we might show love to other people? Yeah, right? Yeah? Yeah, that's right. What else? How else might we show love to other people? Helping them? Yeah, that's right. Maybe someone needs a meal, and so we can give them a meal because they're struggling a little bit. Maybe they're sick and it's a bit hard to get up and to make themselves a meal, or they're just going through a lot. And to make a meal just takes time and effort, and you just want to show them love by giving them a meal. When you hear that someone on your team here has done that, you know what you can do? You can encourage them, you can cheer them on, you can go, woohoo! When someone in our church, on our team, serves the church by reading the Bible, just like Trevor did, just there, we can cheer them on, can't we? We can go up to them afterwards and say, good job. We can say, woohoo! Do you know what we've been learning in Philippians? We've been learning that the church is a team. Get it right? The church is a team. And so we should cheer one another on. Cheer one another on to live for Jesus. Because it's Jesus who made us part of his team, isn't it? So we cheer one another on because the church is a team. So let's pray and ask God to help us to cheer one another on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have made us part of your team. You have joined us together as a team. So please help us to cheer one another on, to love one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another. Because we know that Jesus has saved us, Jesus died for us, so we can be together as a team. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God in heaven, we thank you for this part of your word, this part of Paul's letter to the Philippians. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts even now, that as we look at your word, as we consider your word, as we strive to understand your word and put it into practice, that you would be active in our hearts. Lord, that we would honor you as we hear and obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how easy it is to take people for granted. While I was studying at the Presbyterian College, the principal, Peter Hastie, he told a story, and actually he told this story a couple of times, of an elderly man at his church in Sydney. Now this elderly man, he didn't bring any attention to himself, but every week he brought a packet of special biscuits to church for the cuppa afterwards. Every week he would clean the toilets. Now eventually, this man died. And after a few weeks, people started looking around and asking the question, where are those biscuits that we normally had? And why aren't the toilets getting cleaned? And so Peter had to explain to people that it was that elderly man who had been doing these things. Until then, no one truly appreciated them. They just happened, and it was just taken for granted that it would happen. All through his letter, Paul has been telling the Philippians that the church is a team. He's urged them as a team to be united together in sharing the gospel, to humbly serve one another, love one another, while facing the persecution of gospel enemies. And now, after he's focused on his own situation in prison in Rome, and then on their situation as they were suffering from opposition and struggling with disunity, he now starts to talk about his plans. Because he loves them, he plans to send two people to them. He'll be sending Epaphroditus to them with this letter, and later on, he'll send Timothy to them. And how does Paul want the Philippians to react to them as they come? Well, they are to honour them. He wants them, these two that are being sent, to be a source of joy. He says, love those serving the cause of the gospel. Paul speaks about those he's sending in reverse order. He's sending Epaphroditus first, but he speaks about Timothy first and his plans to send him. He holds Timothy out in verses 19 to 24, our first heading, as an example of genuine concern. And then he speaks about Epaphroditus in verses 25 to 30, our second heading, as an example of faithful service. So we have an example of genuine concern and an example of faithful service. And what are the Philippians to do when they come? What are we to do with people serving the cause of the gospel? We are to love them. So let's turn to our first heading, looking at Timothy in verses 19 to 24 as an example of genuine concern. Verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. So far in his letter, Paul has been encouraging them, assuring them that as he endures his imprisonment, he's actually full of joy because the gospel is going out. His entire existence is about the gospel and the spread of the gospel. And so whether he dies or whether he goes to be with and goes to be with Jesus or whether he stays for their progress, their joy in the faith, whatever happens, he is content. He's been encouraging them. But while he's full of joy generally, he is still concerned for them. He's heard, probably from Epaphroditus, that there are troubles, external and internal, which is why he is sending this letter and why he plans to send Timothy to them. He wants to be cheered by news of them. He wants to hear from Timothy later on that all his encouragements, all his urgings in this letter, that they've been put into practice. Sometimes a three-year-old wants to be helpful. They can see you're doing something and they want to be involved. And that usually means you need to try and find something for them to do. If you're cleaning a room, well, then you need to try and give them a job. Okay, you can take this rubbish to the bin. If you're cooking, maybe you'll give them a carrot and you'll give them the grater and you'll say, you can grate a carrot, but be really careful. You need to be sure that you're supervising, but be really careful. And you do that because even though it will be quicker for you to do it on your own and it'll be simpler for you to do it on your own, you do it firstly because it's a good thing that they want to help. And you want to foster that in them. And also because it might cause a whole lot of drama if you don't let them help you. So you get them to help. Now, is that what Paul is doing with Timothy? Is he giving the inept colleague a job? Off you go, Timothy. You can be a help over there. Is he giving him busy work? No. Have a look at verses 20 to 21. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now we have to be careful here. Is Paul throwing everyone else with him under the bus? Is everyone else with him useless? They don't care about the Philippians or Jesus, they're only interested in themselves. Well, that seems a bit impossible to believe. Whenever Paul talks about the people who are with him, he's always so thankful. In his letter to the Romans, the place where he is now, he makes a huge list of people that he wants to be greeted and who he delights in. So no, Paul's not saying that Timothy is great, but everyone else is rubbish. This seems to be what Paul is doing. It seems to be exaggeration, making a huge statement to get his point across. Just like when Jesus said to cut off your hand and to pluck out your eye if they cause you to sin. He wasn't being literal. These were graphic statements, big statements, capturing attention and highlighting how important it is to avoid sin. And so Paul isn't saying that everyone else with him is rubbish. That doesn't sound like Paul at all. He's highlighting how great Timothy is. And he's probably comparing Timothy with those in chapter 1 who are preaching the gospel just to cause trouble for Paul. Now notice, those people in chapter 1, they were preaching the gospel from selfish ambition in chapter 1, verse 27. The Philippians, Paul says, they're not to do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, chapter 2, verse 3. Instead, they're to look to the interests of others, chapter 2, verse 4, just like Christ did by giving up his place in glory to go to the cross. So the Philippians were to follow Jesus' example, to have Jesus' attitude, and now Paul is sending Timothy to them, who is, again, the perfect example of what he's talking about. Here's Timothy, and he's not looking out for number one. He's putting his own interests to the side for them and for Paul. That is the love that he has for them. Timothy is exactly like the person that he is calling the Philippians to be. And they can testify to that opinion themselves. They'd seen Timothy in action with Paul, verse 22. Paul wasn't spewing hot air. Timothy was an example of genuine concern, genuine humility, genuine Christ-likeness. And as soon as Paul found out what the result of his trial was, he'd be sending Timothy to them and hopefully coming himself soon. We'll think about what all this means for us in 21st century Australia soon. First, though, let's stay in their world. Paul sending Timothy, an example of genuine concern. And he's also sending Epaphroditus back to them, an example of faithful service, in verses 25 to 30, our second heading. Let's look at all those different ways that Paul describes Epaphroditus in verse 25. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Can you see Paul's genuine love, his affection, and his gratitude for Epaphroditus? He calls him brother, just like he's called the Philippians brothers multiple times in this letter. He affirms that Epaphroditus, he is a true Christian. He has been saved by Jesus, adopted by the Father. They are part of the one family. He's a fellow worker. They've stood side by side proclaiming the gospel. Even more, he is a fellow soldier, showing that he has suffered alongside Paul in proclaiming that gospel. When Paul looks at Epaphroditus, he sees a man sold out to Jesus, who knows that Jesus suffered and died for him. And so he is willing to give up everything for Jesus. Like Jesus left the glories of heaven so that his death could save many from the horrors of God's wrath, so Epaphroditus was willing to suffer to tell others this wonderful news. That's who he was to Paul. But Paul adds what he was to the Philippians. He was their messenger, their minister to his need. See, they had sent Epaphroditus because Paul's affection for them wasn't one-sided. They knew that they had only received eternal life because Paul had come to them, preaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Paul was now in prison, and unlike today, our society, where the government pays for the food and the various comforts of its prisoners who are awaiting trial and even those who have been convicted. The Roman Empire didn't do that. If you were arrested, it was up to friends and family to provide for you. And so why is Paul sending Epaphroditus back to them? He's an example of faithful service. Wouldn't he want to keep him around? Well, first, it's because now Epaphroditus is concerned for them. Verse 26, "For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." And Paul goes on to say that, yeah, he'd almost died. As a church, we know what it's like to be concerned about people whose lives are in danger. We remember Matt and Kate Vinicum, missionaries with the Prezi Church and with CMS on Groot Island, working with the indigenous people there. Remember, they were in that horrific car accident Christmas Day 2022. And this news went around the Christian circles of Australia. We were thankful that their three children were quickly discharged from hospital, but both Matt and Kate needed surgeries, multiple surgeries, especially Kate, and Kate is now paralysed. So the call went out to the churches, both for prayer and eventually for money, so that they could buy a house in Melbourne to suit Kate's new needs. And I know that some of you here gave generously to that cause. Closer to home, we know what it's like to have our own members going through surgeries, battling with their health. There's been a number of people here who have struggled with cancer. Beck had her stint in hospital last year. And we've known joy when we have visited them and seen that they are recovering. We've rejoiced as they've returned to church. We've rejoiced because the church is a team. Even more, it's a family and we love one another. Even those we have never met, like the Vinicums, we love and we pray for and we give towards. Because they knew the depth of love between Epaphroditus and the other Philippians, Paul and Epaphroditus were both desperate for Epaphroditus to go back, to rejoice in God's mercy that he recovered. Now, we might take that news that this person recovered, we might take that for granted with modern medications and modern surgeries, but they certainly didn't. And as Paul sends Epaphroditus back to them, this example of faithful service, Paul makes an appeal. Verse 29, "So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service." Epaphroditus was there to care for Paul on behalf of the Philippians while he was in prison in Rome. And because of that service, he became ill and almost died. And the church isn't to take that for granted. Like he already knows they will, he calls them to receive him, to honour him, love those serving the cause of the gospel. They are a team. And he's returning to them safe and sound. When it comes to passages like these, where they're highly personal, talking about sending this person and sending that person, and sometimes it's tempting to just breeze through it as we're reading. It might not seem to be incredibly relevant to life today. There's no inspiring prayers, no incredibly deep theology to sink your teeth into. There isn't even a real description of what the gospel is. But these verses are vital for us here in Eagle Hawk 2024. Paul says to love those serving the cause of the gospel, to honour them, receive them with joy. Now, I'm challenged as I read Paul's words. I hear his concern for people, his delight in them, and I see how far I fall short. Not to say that I don't love people or that I'm not concerned about them, but I can be easily distracted by the next task, the next deadline, which means that I don't show my concern like I should. I don't express my thanks or spend the time to show my joy. What about you? Are you someone who readily expresses love and thankfulness and joy? Do you delight in others? And do you express concern for them? When you hear that someone is going through a hard time, do you follow up with them afterwards? Are you praying for people, for the church? And are your prayers filled with thanks to God because of them and thankfulness to them, for them? Do you know the issues that they're going through so that you can pray about those things? Paul says in chapter 3, verse 17, that we should imitate him. We should imitate Paul. And one way we should imitate him is in our love for people. But right now, let's turn from Paul's example and now look at his instructions to the Philippians, because he says to them to love those serving the cause of the gospel. And it is a blessing being able to be here preaching this passage to you, because I don't feel disrespected. See, I know that there are people here who pray for me and my family. And so thank you. There's a wonderful way for you to show your love, your support. I don't feel unloved. I'm not tempted to bang on this pulpit and demand respect because the Bible tells you to. I'm thankful for you all. Now, maybe it's just that I'm clueless and you're actually all harboring secret frustrations and hurts and concerns. And if that's the case, please do let me know. I don't want that to be between us. But we do need to be careful, because discontent can very quickly breed dishonor and lack of love. I've seen it happen in other churches. I've heard the stories of the church blow-ups. I'm thankful that I've never been a part of it, but I've heard of it. Maybe it was a personality clash or a disagreement with a decision from the church leadership. But there's a problem when we can only respect someone, or you can only honor someone or a group of people, if you can only honor them if they make the decisions that you agree with. Will you be able to respect and honor the leadership of this church if we make a decision that you don't like? You know, we've been praying for years that God would raise up elders in our church. Let's imagine that he does that. Are you ready to honor the man or the men that God raises up, those who are elected to that role? Let's imagine that actually you're not quite convinced that this person, this man, is the right person for the job. Would you still strive to respect him and honor him as one who has been elected by the people of God? Because this man or these men will be doing the work of the Lord, and those who do that deserve honor. They deserve to be received by the church with joy and with love as they seek to lead the team. Make their task a joy, not a burden, just like you've made it a joy for me. Let's consider just one more way that this passage can apply to us. There are other ways, but just one more. This passage applies to us and can challenge us. Remember who Epaphroditus was. He was a Philippian sent by the church with a monetary gift for Paul while he was in prison. The wonderful reality is that we don't need to send someone physically to deliver a gift of money to those who are serving the cause of the gospel around the world. Thanks to internet banking, we can contribute to the needs of our missions partners virtually instantaneously. Thanks to email and phones, we don't need to wait weeks to get updates from them. Every week we take up a collection for our missions partners. We have the opportunity to register for their update emails. And if you don't know how to do that, then ask me and I'll get you in touch. We have the privilege of being able to instantly send them a word of encouragement, to tell them that we are praying for them, we rejoice with them, we lament with them. Now, if I'm being honest, this is a weakness of our church. I hope that you are regularly praying for our missions partners. They're cycled through our weekly pew sheet on the prayer points. I won't spend time talking about our financial giving to them, which could be improved. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we were at least regularly in contact with them, telling them that we're praying? If you are passionate about improving our relationship with our missions partners, you could be our missions ambassador. Maybe you could give a regular, semi-regular update on how they're going. You could organise a letter-writing campaign to them. You could be part of a team, if there's a group of people who would like to do this, you could be part of a team which keeps our missions partners front and centre in our minds so that we can better love those who are serving the cause of the gospel. Because remember, Paul's saying in Philippians that the church is a team and our missions partners are part of our team. Paul's words here are incredibly practical. Honour and rejoice with those who do the work of Christ. Ultimately, even though the word isn't actually used in the passage, love those serving the cause of the gospel. Love them with prayer, with generous giving, with interest in them. They're part of the team. And so love those serving the cause of the gospel. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we give you thanks and praise. Thanks and praise that you have so loved us, that you sent Jesus to die for us. You've so loved us that you have not left us on our own, but you've poured out your Spirit into our hearts. And then on top of that, you have joined us together with your people, with your church, so that we would be a team. We pray that we would indeed honour those who serve the cause of the gospel. Honour those who have given up their lives for the sake of this gospel, to bring your good news to a lost and a dying world, to those who are facing an eternity without Christ. Our God, may we truly honour them. May we truly love them. May we encourage them and build them up. Our God, may we be a church which is known for its love, because we know that that is how people will know that we are your disciples, as Jesus said. So may we be a church that loves one another, but in particular, as Paul is urging here, to love those serving the cause of the gospel with their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.